Open up your Bibles to Habakkuk this morning. Habakkuk chapter 2. This is our third sermon in this short book, and it's been quite the little book here. A little book, major impact. We've been looking at the need to have faith in uncertain times. This is the message of Habakkuk. Just to give a little short review, for those of you who haven't been in a sermon in this series yet, Habakkuk is a conversation that God has with a prophet named Habakkuk. Habakkuk is upset, and he is complaining to God because his country, the country of Judah, which is the southern kingdom of Israel, has gone down the tubes in every which way. There's unbelievable sin and corruption and wickedness. And Habakkuk is mad at God. He's mad at God because, in Habakkuk's opinion, God seems to be letting people get away with murder and wickedness and sin. And he complains to God. God, why don't you care? God, why did you let this happen? When are you going to let these people have it? And remember, he's talking about his own people, the Jewish people. I mean, every part of the country was corrupt, from priests and prophets and kings. You can't trust anybody. There's rape and incest and murder, sexual perversion of all kinds. There's idolatry. It's bad. And so God is being blamed for this in Habakkuk's book. And what Habakkuk wants is justice. God, we want justice for those evil people. So God responds. And God says, Habakkuk, I haven't been idle. I'm not looking at evil with my hands tied. But I'm doing something that even you can't understand, even if I told you. He says, and he shocks Habakkuk by saying, don't worry, justice is coming. I'm judging the whole country by sending another country, empire, the Babylonians, to come and invade, capture, and destroy the country. Well, this took Habakkuk by quite the surprise. And first he complains that God doesn't do anything, and then God does something, and then what Habakkuk does from there? He complains again. Oh God, I don't like your answer to this mess. That's not quite what I was expecting about all that. Don't you know that there's some good people here? And how can you destroy us with a people worse than we are? That's his problem. We saw that last week. God, this doesn't make any sense. You're letting things get worse. And God's answer is, don't worry. There is justice coming. And so he's worried about his own people getting away with murder. Now he's saying, but God, you're going to let them get away with murder? Shouldn't you be dropping the hammer on the Babylonians as well? I mean, where are your people? Where belong to Abraham? Who are they? Well, at least some of us are righteous over here. There's none of them that are good over there. You're going to use them? And God's answer to Habakkuk is simply, Habakkuk, the righteous man shall live by what? By faith. What God is telling Habakkuk is simply, trust me. Trust me. I know this doesn't make any sense to you. You think, Habakkuk, that I don't know what I'm doing. But will you not trust me? That's where we find ourselves, isn't it? Trusting God in life. Having faith day by day when life just doesn't make any sense. When we think God is silent, when we think God is far away, God is not. God is not. And the answer to the situation may not be what we want. But I guarantee you, if God ordains it, it is always right. That's a hard pill to swallow. Habakkuk just received news that his whole country is about to be pulverized. Slaves will be taken. People will be killed. The temple will be destroyed. There's no more Judah. So he complains about that. And God says, "Will you trust me? The righteous man lives by faith." However, God just doesn't leave it there. But he says to Habakkuk, "You know, just like I promised you that there would be justice for Judah, there will also be justice for the Babylonians. Don't worry, Habakkuk. I'm not going to let them get away with it either. Judgment is coming to them as well." You see, this is the story of Habakkuk. It's about justice. What is justice? It's what is fair according to the law, right? Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, liberty, justice. Liberty is grounded in freedom. You can't have freedom unless you have just laws. God has a law that's just and righteous, and it reflects his holy character. And this law has been violated. There is an injustice happening. Well, God never looks away from injustice. There is always justice in the end. It may take time. It may take days, years, months, generations. But there is always justice in the end. This is what God is telling Habakkuk. This sermon we're going to pick up in verse 5 through 20. And in this sermon, God shows Habakkuk just how he's going to have justice on those Babylonians that are coming to get them. Don't worry, Habakkuk. Trust me. They're not getting away with this. He says in verse 5, describing the Babylonians, he says, "Moreover, wine is a traitor, an arrogant man who's never at rest. His greed is as wide as Sheol. Like death, he has never enough. He gathers for himself all nations and collects as his own all peoples." God describes the Babylonians as a drunk, greedy, and prideful man. You know, the guy who gets all these possessions, he gets drunk and he brags about how great and wonderful he is. "There's nobody like me. Babylon is in a drunken stupor, saying foolish things, thinking that they're the reason for their own success, not even knowing it was God who was raising them up for his plans and his purpose. Moreover, wine is a traitor. Babylon is like a drunk, angry, prideful man. His greed is as wide as Sheol," which is the grave. "And like death, he never has enough." The grave will never be satisfied with enough death. Right? As far as you can go, there's cemeteries. As far as you can go, there is death. This is how Babylon is. He's describing them like the grave, like the cemetery that cannot absorb enough. "He gathers for himself all nations and collects for himself all peoples." But listen to this. And here's the thing. God describes the judgment on Babylon in five woes. There's five woes that are coming. The one thing that, one word you never want to hear God spoken about you is woe. Okay? Whenever you see that word woe, you're in trouble. Just run. Run. But here God is about to enlist five woes, W-O-E, upon Babylon. This is what their future looks like. "Shall not all these take up their taunt against him?" But these is the nations that have been captured by Babylon. And the him is Babylon, the king, Nebuchadnezzar. "Shall not all these nations take up their taunt against the king?" How are they going to do this? "With scoffing and riddles for him. And say, woe to him who heaps up what is not his own. For how long? And loads himself with pledges. Will not your debtors suddenly arise, and those who awake, who will make you tremble? Then you will be spoil for them. Because you have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you. For the blood of man and violence to the earth, to cities, and all who dwell in them. God is saying that the nations that are left from Babylon's destruction, the remnants of those peoples that were killed, will one day taunt them. They will trash talk. You ever watch a football game or a basketball game and the players on the team are trash talking the other team? You know what I mean? They're taunting them. Babylon, the great, who is in charge of basically the whole world, will be made fun of, will be taunted, will be trash-talked one day. This is what God says to Habakkuk. And their plundering and their robbing and their killing and their taking of slaves will end. Babylon, you took what wasn't yours. You were ruthless to us. You were ruthless to others. But one day, you will tremble before the peoples that you stole from. Not only that, the people that you left behind will one day plunder and kill you. All of that greed, the never-stopping taking of nations, you acted like the predator, but one day you will become the prey. This is what God is telling Habakkuk about Babylon. Remember, the righteous shall live by... I'm not going to let them get away with it. The people that they left behind are coming for them. And guess who's sending them? Me! There's justice at the end of the day. And indeed, that this did happen. In the year 539 BC, the Persian Empire arose and defeated the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians. Bring that once feared empire to nothing. Babylon lost everything. They were plundered and killed. And the Persians took over what they once had. It's amazing history. But this is in our Bibles. This is not some fairy tales or stories from long ago and legends. Go pick up a history book. This stuff with Babylonians and Assyrians and Persians are in the history books. And the Bible has the truth behind it all. These nations will taunt them and steal from them and plunder them. Their days of ravaging the world are coming to an end. Don't worry, Habakkuk. They've got it coming to them. Woes 2 and 3 are found in verses 9 through 13, and they're very similar. This is what it says. Woe to him who gets evil gain, who gets evil gain for his house, to set his nest on high, to be safe from the reach of harm. You have devised shame for your house by cutting off many peoples. You have forfeited your life, for the stone will cry out from the wall and the beam from the woodwork respond. Woe to him who builds a town with blood and founds a city on iniquity. Behold, it is not from the Lord of hosts that peoples labor merely for fire and nations weary themselves for nothing. Here God addresses their complaint, his complaint again, that evil people are getting away with it. The Babylonians stole everything they could and they built themselves bigger houses, bigger palaces. They got richer and fatter, right? They had more possessions because it was conquer the world, take their stuff and bring it home. And they were a superpower during this time, the Babylonians. Matter of fact, if you take a look at the map, this is the extent of the Babylonian Empire. It shows you how big and how far they went conquered. All the way into Egypt, down into Saudi Arabia, near Iran, into Turkey. Their empire was even bigger than the Assyrians who came before them. Remember, the Assyrians took over the northern kingdom. Well, the Babylonians destroyed them. Their kingdom is even bigger than the Assyrians before them. And everywhere they went, they conquered, they plundered, they stole. And God says this: one day the stone and the wood in their homes and their palaces, the ones that made them fat and rich and famous, at the expense of people's lives and towns. The very stone and wood in their homes will cry for justice. It will be a reminder to them as they sit in their fancy homes and look at the fine stone and woodwork that all of this came at the hands of blood. This is blood money. That's what God says. And woe to you if you build your houses and cities with blood money. Oh, Habakkuk, they're not getting away with it. You cannot steal. You cannot do injustice. It will be and lead to your doom. They will forever be a reminder to you, the Babylonians, of what you've done to further yourself to get to this place. You can't step all over people and make yourself great. See, the Babylonians in a drunken stupor are the crazy uncle at your party that's saying that he's number one and bragging about his high school football record and how many touchdowns he got in one game, right? He's wanting to make himself great and popular and famous to everybody at the party. And he wants his fame to spread so that everyone knows about him. And a lot of people did know about him. But the bigger they are, the harder they... And that's exactly what happened to Babylon. The whole world knew about Babylon. It was impossible not to know about Babylon. Powerful, they're strong, they're mighty. But God says, one day, the stone and the wood in your homes that you bought with blood will be your demise. And so it was. And so, verse 14, is God gives five woes, two promises. We've already covered three woes. Three woes to Babylon, and then here comes a promise. This is what verse 14 says. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What is God telling Habakkuk? Let me put it to you very simply. It's not always going to be like this. Brandon, put up that map again. It's not always going to be like this. The righteous shall live by faith. That's what God says. All right, God, how do we do that? How do we know that's true? What do we have faith in? I'll tell you what to have faith in, Habakkuk. One day the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Yeah, the Babylonian Empire was pretty amazing. From Egypt to Iran to Turkey, it was big. You think that's something? One day the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. What's God saying? Next to Nebuchadnezzar, his kingdom is trash. His kingdom is nothing. One day, it will all be made right. One day, there will not be a person on the earth that doesn't love the Lord. One day, there will not be a person living that doesn't see God as great and glorious and is one of his own. One day, the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. No more sins in Judah. No more sins of your people. Because remember, that's how it started. Oh God, our country's going down the toilet. What are you doing? God, you're going to send them to wipe us out? Look at that. It's not always going to be like this. The righteous shall live by faith. And we know this promise ultimately comes true when? At the return of King Jesus. At the second coming. When he makes all things new and defeats every last enemy. And there is nobody left but the people who he's purchased with his own blood, his bride. The whole earth one day will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. One day, Habakkuk, there is no need to complain anymore about injustice, because my righteous rules are loved and obeyed and lifted high. And one day there is no more sin. Habakkuk, there is no more Babylon to come and invade. There's no more Roman Empire, although he didn't know what the Roman Empire was at that time. There is no more Greek Empire. There's no more Assyrians. There's no more Persians. One day the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Oh, I don't know about you, but I long for that day. I long for that day where there's no more cancer, right? Where there's no more murder, mass shootings, diseases, and corrupt politicians, and broken relationships, right? How do the righteous live by faith? By knowing this. It's not always going to be like this. Say that with me. It's not always going to be like this. That's our hope, people. You could be discouraged. You could be beaten down today. You could be discouraged about the state of our country and who's elected and who's going to be elected and whatever. It's not always going to be like this. Because one day, the whole earth will be filled. Oh, I long for that day. God is giving three woes to Babylon and a promise to Habakkuk. Hold on, hold on, hold on. The righteous shall live by faith. It's not always going to be like this. Matter of fact, if you need to write that down and put it on your refrigerator today, do so. Right? Laminate it, put it in your shower. You know, the paper will crumble and get wet and get ruined. Laminate it. Put it in your shower. Stick it to the wall. You get discouraged. It's not always going to be like this. Man, put it on your TV when you're watching the news at night and you're like, what in the world's going on? And you look up there and you say, it's not always going to be like this. Habakkuk 2:14, one day the whole earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And the last time I checked, there's a lot of water in the sea. That's the promise God makes to Habakkuk after the first three woes. Let's look at the fourth woe, verse 15. And there's another promise after these two woes. Woe to him who makes his neighbors drink. You pour out your wrath and make them drunk, in order to gaze at their nakedness. You will have your fill of shame instead of glory. Drink yourself and show your uncircumcision. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around to you, and utter shame will come upon your glory. The violence done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, as will the destruction of the beasts that terrified them, for the blood of man and violence to the earth, to cities and all who dwell in them. Again, remember, this is give it to Habakkuk about who? Babylon. God is saying they're not getting away with it. They're not getting away with it. They're getting what they're doing. But right now, they're pawns in my hand to do my will. But they're not going to get away with their evil. So what happens here? More drunkenness. There's a theme here, right? The Babylonians like to drink. Woe to him who makes his neighbors drink. Why? So you can look at them naked. Sexual perversion. You feel your shame instead of your glory. Now, this is very interesting. And I came across this week. I have never seen this before. I did not know that this was about that. That often happens when I study. Oh, this is about that. I get it. This comes to fulfillment in the fifth chapter of Daniel. The fifth chapter of Daniel. We don't have time to go there right now, but write that down and I'm going to summarize it for you right now. Do you remember that story of the handwriting on the wall? Remember that? If you don't, I'll summarize it real quick. In Daniel chapter 5, Nebuchadnezzar is now dead. His son is the king. Right? Babylon. The Jews have already been conquered. Slaves are in Babylon. Daniel is one of them. Daniel is writing from Babylon. And the king of Babylon is having a drunken party. And they're using all of the gold that they took from the temple as cups and plates. You know, the temple of God where things were worshipped, where God was worshipped. They're taking the gold of the temple and using it for their drunken orgy party in Daniel chapter 5. In the middle of the party, the king looks up and a human hand out of thin air comes up, goes to the wall and writes on the wall. Right? The king doesn't know what it means. He gets all his people around. They don't know what it means. They remember Daniel's a man of God, so they go get Daniel. And Daniel says, I'll tell you what it means. And the PDV version, Pastor Dan version, is this. God just wrote on the wall, you're done. Your kingdom is now given to the Medes and the Persians. You're done. You've had your last drink. You've had your last party. You're done. This is what this fourth woe is about. This judgment comes in the form of a drunken party. And here this fourth woe is about what? A drunken party. One day you will see, and your glory will be brought to shame. Oh, that scared the king of Babylon mightily. Daniel interprets it and tells him the meaning. And in the year 539 BC, I've already told you, the Medes and the Persians, with the remnants of the people, obliterate the nation or the empire of Babylon. And if you want to look it up, because if anyone loves history, Google, look it up, whatever, the Battle of Carchemish. Real battle in history. That is the battle that the Babylonians fall. 539 BC. God told me what happened. Habakkuk, they're not getting away with it. Hang on tight. Hang on tight. Let's look at the fifth woe. What profit is an idol when its maker has shaped it? A metal image, a teacher of lies. For its maker trusts in his own creation. When he makes speechless idols. Woe to him who says to a wooden thing, awake to a silent stone. Arise, can this teach? Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in it. Again, this is about the sin of idolatry. God says, woe to you who make idols. And remember, if you remember with me, Daniel chapter 1 or 2 or 3, I think it's 3, Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, makes what? A giant statue of himself. Remember that? 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide. And at the sound of the music, everyone had to drop and bow down and worship the statue. Remember that? That's what gets Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace because they wouldn't do it. Remember? Babylon was a nation of idols. Nebuchadnezzar was so full of himself. He's that drunk uncle at the party, I'm telling you. And he makes this golden statue of himself. Well, what's this last woe about? Woe to you who makes these wooden statue overlaid with gold. This is prophecy. Nebuchadnezzar, that will be your doom. Your doom. It's the violation of his law. The first two commandments. Number one, no other gods before me. Number two, no graven images. Woe to you who make idols. I wish we had more time to go into that, but we're going to move on. Let's go to verse 20. How does the Lord end his response here? This is one big thing. First three woes. It's not always going to be like that. It's not always going to be like that. This is what he says in verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. After he gets done telling Habakkuk how he's about to lay it upon Babylon, I'm going to give you PDV again. God says to Habakkuk, "You got anything else to say? Okay, good. Shut up." That's what God is telling Habakkuk. You think I'm just looking at evil? You think I'm not doing anything? Habakkuk, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. We have no right to accuse God of anything. God is good. God is sovereign. He's in control. Oh yes, sometimes this means that your country gets wiped out. And you have to trust the Lord through it all, like Habakkuk had to. The Lord is good. Be quiet. He knows what he's doing. His righteous ways will come to pass. You want justice? You got it. You got justice for Judah. You want justice for Babylon? Okay, you got that too. How do the righteous live by faith, Habakkuk? One, remembering it's not always going to be like this. Say that with me. It's not always going to be like this. And second, be still and know that he is God. Let all the world be silent before him. You want justice? You're going to get justice. There's justice for every single person on earth. Nobody gets away with anything. Nobody. At the end of time, when people stand before the great white throne, judgment seat of God, they will have to give an account of their life. And if their name is not found written in the book, the Lamb's Book of Life, they are cast alive into the lake of fire which burns forever and ever. Nobody gets away with anything. God has the last word. God has the last word. But we have to understand that the divine justice often seems and feels scandalous. You're going to wipe us out with them? We're better than they are. The truth is, they weren't any better. They were guilty of the many same things that Babylon was doing. Judah had idols. Judah had sexual perversion. Judah had drunkenness. Judah mistreated their poor and they oppressed the strangers in their land. This is what the prophets preached about. They weren't any better. Divine justice seems scandalous. Habakkuk wants fairness on his terms. But as soon as he hears what was fair, he quickly changes his mind. That's a statement we grow up with, right? That's not fair. Kids are famous for saying that. That's not fair. Well, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you better thank God that he's not fair. Because being fair is giving you what you deserve. And the Bible says we deserve the wages of sin is death. And that death is separation from God forever, apart from his presence in hell, like fire. But we are guilty. If we get what's fair, we're in a heap of trouble. Our nation is in a heap of trouble if we get what's fair. Our nation is in trouble, for sure. Nations come and go. God has a plan and purpose for nations. But what Habakkuk couldn't see, what is even more scandalous than that is the grace of a scandalous cross. That wasn't fair. The righteous, innocent, holy law-abiding Son of God. God incarnate, Jesus Christ, took on the punishment for our rebellion to God. Your sin, my sin, Jesus was punished. That's not fair. But God is a God of justice. And we can praise the Lord for this. We can praise the Lord for this. That although every sin that for those who are apart from Christ will be dealt with at the great white throne judgment, we know that. Every sin that we've ever committed for those of us who are in Christ, who have believed, who have become born again, have been accounted for at the cross of Christ. Jesus paid it all. You see, well, God forgave me. Does that mean he excused it, swept underneath the carpet? No. Jesus had to deal with it. And you could praise the Lord for that. And harbor home truthfully this morning. It's not always going to be like that. And God has the last word. We're going to sing a song now as we transition to remember Christ through the Lord's Supper. Let's stand and sing.